Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, listeners. Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. This afternoon we have with us Ms. Sheila Rouse. How are you, Ms. Sheila Rouse?
I'm doing good. And, well, let me just pronounce you. My first name is Shalia Ross.
Shalia Ross.
Shalia Ross.
That.
That's quite
all
okay.
Right. All right, Ms. Rouse. This afternoon, listeners, we're going to be talking about Greenwood, Mississippi, and the death of Frederick Jermaine Carter. Greenwood, Mississippi has a population of nearly 16,000, a crime rate of 0.78%, a violent crime rate of around 124, 125 for murder, non-negligent, and manslaughter. Crime incidents are around 1,112 or 1,100.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Your nephew was Frederick Jermaine Carter. Am I correct, Ms.
Yes. Yes, he was. Frederick Jermaine Carter.
Okay. What type of man was Frederick Jermaine Carter?
Frederick has always been pretty laid back ever since he was a little kid. Grew up very funny, very energetic, he had his moments or whatever as any other kid growing up, but as they become teenagers, they start to develop their own lifestyle. So Frederick was, he still was a good kid, very obedient, but he had his own way of doing things. So, I mean, in my eyesight, every child, you want to say is a good kid, but, they have their moments where they get in their little trouble here and there, but, who hasn't? But it's nothing to the point where that he had to go to jail or go to prison over, as a young man, he was very respectful. That was one of the things that we always taught him to be. Very, very respectful to, from elderly on down, those especially are, to women. And, he's always been very kind. He loved his mom. He loved all his aunts and his sisters, his cousins. We was all very close. So, Frederick Jermaine was just he was a good-hearted person, would do anything for you. Always looking for work, very hard worker, So, I mean, as he got older, he had his moments. And so, well, of course, from that, he went back down to Mississippi to live with his mom and his two sisters. And that was, he was there for maybe a couple of years up until his death.
Okay. Were you close to your nephew?
Very close. I am his oldest auntie. I'm the oldest child on my mother's side. And so, well, of course, I had our five brothers and two other sisters. It was eight of us in all. So, by me being the oldest of all of them, the difference between the ages was our 4 years. I'm 4 years older than my brother and 10 years older than the next set of kids. So yeah, I was very, very close. I was just like a mother to pretty much my sisters and brothers and them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When was Frederick Jermaine Carter found to be missing?
Well, he went out with his stepdad, and I believe it was on December 2nd when he went out to do a job with his stepfather to paint a house. And the stepfather, the last time he was out was with his stepdad when he came up missing. And I believe he was found on December 3rd, around about between 11:30 and 12 o'clock. They found him hanging in a tree.
Was there a missing report filed?
Apparently, the stepfather, which is my brother-in-law, he said he went to the sheriff's department, and he reported that he was missing. So,
okay.
Yeah. Mhm.
All right.
That was my understanding.
That's your understanding. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
my understanding. This is what my sister told me. Yeah. Mhm.
Yeah, the best of your knowledge. When was your nephew's body found and where? You already answered the date it was found, but where?
It was found in Greenwood, Mississippi, December 3rd, 2010, in Greenwood, Mississippi. Matter of fact, I believe it was like about maybe 5 miles where Emmett Till was actually beaten to death.
Okay. How old was he at that time?
26. Matter of fact, he had a birthday coming up in which was in January, December of 11. January 11. He had a birthday was coming up, so he would have been 27.
Okay. In what manner was he found?
They found him hung in a tree in Greenwood, Mississippi. Apparently they said that he committed suicide. But the way that he was hung and the length of the tree, of the limb that he was hung, they couldn't understand how he would have hung himself like that and standing on a bench. Evidently they said he had pulled the bench from the other side of the tree, which was rotten to the core, to stand up on the bench in order to link to hang himself. So a lot of that was, you know, again, the investigation that they was doing, they could not understand how he could have done that. And the rope that they found in his pocket supposedly had been the rope that was hanging around his neck. But they couldn't find a knife, they couldn't find a lighter, anything that could have burned that type of rope, because it's very hard to break it with your hands.
Okay. All right. What did the first autopsy rule?
The first autopsy ruled that it was a suicide. That's what Sheriff Ricky Banks, the sheriff in Greenwood, Mississippi, stated, that it was a suicide, that he hung himself. And when they did an autopsy, they sent his body to do an autopsy on a Friday. And they released his body coming up on that following Monday. So they said that they didn't work on the weekend. So we were trying to figure out how did they do an autopsy that fast on him from Friday when they had taken his body over to the forensic scientist to do an autopsy on him, and then release his body on Monday in order for the family to bury him. But what happened was Minister Louis Farrakhan stepped in. He said he refused to let another young black man, be buried by his family, you know, and not find out what the real truth is. What he did was he paid for a forensic scientist. They had to ship his body out. I'm not sure exactly what other state, because it was a confidential thing. No one was supposed to know about where his body went, because they was trying to figure out, well, then how was my sister was going to get the second independent autopsy done. But Minister Louis Farrakhan has sent some of his guys, you know, his fellow workers, to actually speak with my sister, and I believe his name was Abdullah Muhammad. He came and he stood by my sister the whole time, but I don't know exactly what happened. We finally got his body out, shipped out. We had a hard time shipping his body out. They wouldn't ship his body out in Jackson, Mississippi. They would not ship his body out. So we had to make other arrangements to ship his body out from Memphis, Tennessee. But we had to make sure that we set a time frame in order to get his body out. The funeral home drove all the way to Memphis. We had made arrangements to get the body out from Memphis, Tennessee. I had a cousin that works for an airline. She had been there working for like over 28 years. I called her up and asked her what could we do as far as to get his body out. Once we got his body out, then all of a sudden, Sheriff Ricky Banks from Greenwood, Mississippi, and whoever else gotten together, then they kind of reneged on their story. Then they didn't. They wanted to say, well, we want to wait until the second autopsy comes. Well, they was kind of really, really shocked that my nephew's body was having a second independent autopsy on. So they changed their story from not you know, suicide to saying, well, we will determine what, you know, what happened to him when they get the second autopsy. So this is where this lawyer comes in, my sister got. She was from Alabama. I don't know where she came from or who sent her, but she was from Alabama, and I don't know what she told my sister. My sister, evidently, there are other people had called and actually trying to get her to, you know, get a form a legal team together and to do something about this. Well, neatly, that didn't happen. With this woman, she stepped in, so assuming she probably went in as this woman of understanding, okay, because she had two teenage kids herself.
Okay.
You know.
So the first autopsy was ruled a suicide. What did the second autopsy, what was it ruled?
That's it. The second autopsy, this woman, this attorney from Alabama, she got her hands on the second autopsy. Let's put it like this. If my sister had the second autopsy sent directly to the lady in Alabama, well, of course, they had a big discrepancy about, you know, the second autopsy, because Minister Louis Farrakhan was the one that had the autopsy done. And technically, Minister Louis Farrakhan should have got the second autopsy. This woman got her hand on the second autopsy, and she would not release what the second autopsy is. And this is what I'm still fighting about. We don't know where she came from. All I know that my sister mentioned that she is the lawyer, and so now I have to respect what my sister had done. My sister never did find out who she was, how she actually found out about her, who recommended her, or whatever. But this woman took the case and been sitting on the case ever since. She did two press conferences since Jermaine has been, you know, lynched. That's it. Now, I don't know what she's doing now, because we haven't heard from her. Nobody has actually heard from her. So now I have been trying to figure out how I can get to know who this person is. You know, so I haven't spoke to my sister about it, because she's very touchy about talking about this attorney. But I do know that this attorney is going on what? It's now, what, 2 years? And so now we don't know what's going to happen. But I'm going to keep fighting until I figure it out or come up with some answers what's going on. I mean, I think that she needed to have done another investigation, because they tampered with the evidence. There was people all they didn't rope off. There were so many things that happened that she did not even take notice or didn't do. But there are other lawyers that was following the case very, very close.
Okay.
And I had one lawyer to call me. He was willing to take the case. He's a well-known forensic scientist here, and he's also a high-profile lawyer. And he said he had been following. He saw the videos and everything. He said he could have blown this case wide open. But for some reason, my sister called her lawyer, and her lawyer did not respond to the, you know, by calling this gentleman back. So, like, this lawyer here had worked on a lot of high-profile cases, like Martin Luther King, I believe John F. Kennedy, all of them.
What you're saying is your, it has not been ruled that your, that Frederick Jermaine Carter was murdered. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. It has not been ruled of anything. Even matter of fact, the FBI is supposed to have been actually investigating his case, and they went along, the FBI went along with what Sheriff Ricky Banks said. They didn't even investigate the case. They didn't even really sit down and talk to my brother-in-law about it. And my nephew was Jermaine was with him when, you know, from the very start. So now something got to be known about this, because my brother-in-law have given two different stories in which I cannot understand why they haven't interviewed him, you know, actually investigated him. There are people have mentioned things that needed to be looked into.
Okay, your nephew. Okay, it has not been ruled a murder. Okay.
No. A suicide.
Mm-hmm. Nor suicide.
Right. Mm-mm. It just like up right now, it's just up in the air. It's almost like they just trying to sweep this case under the rug. You know, they want the time to go by where people will forget about even thinking about what happened to Frederick Jermaine. Are they still curious about what happened to Frederick Jermaine? Who did this? These are the questions that a lot of people are still asking me. You know, and I'm the auntie, but I can, being that his mom, his mother is still living, you know, she is the one that has to handle, she's the only one that can have a say about, you know, what she can do. I would have fired this lawyer long before now and got someone that I know for a fact that can do me some good.
Okay. All right. So you're the aunt. Okay, so, so he was found to be missing December 2nd, 2012, hanging from a tree, and it has not been ruled either a murder or a suicide.
Yeah, they found him lynched December 3rd, around about 11:30, somewhere around noontime, December 3rd, 2010 is when they actually found his body.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, Minister Louis Farrakhan, is he still involved with you and your family?
Well, let's put it like this here. My sister, the lawyer had told my sister that she didn't want the Nation of Islam to have anything to do with this case. That's what she told my sister. She didn't want no affiliation with the Nation of Islam, because I knew for a fact that if my sister had gone with them, she would have had some. She would have had some answers. She would have had some results. Because without them, let's put it like this. Without them at the time, she would have never been able to get that second independent autopsy done. And you know what? This lawyer did not care. She tried to badmouth them, but I said everything that they did, and I'm very observant. Everything that they did was right in the guidelines of everything that's supposed to have been done, the questions that's supposed to have been asked, the moves where you're supposed to go and do this, as far as like lawyers or whatever. They was questioning her about a lot of things. You know, my sister didn't know what she needed to do. She didn't know what. She didn't know what was going on. You know, she was still, you know, kind of out of it. But I believe this lawyer come and took advantage of her. Well, of course, she hasn't, you know, she don't like me, because first and foremost, I won't let this here rest. So now she and I have a difference when it comes to this.
Okay. All right. We're going to go to break.
Okay.
And, we're going to come back.
All right.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turn your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And Decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylists, and makeup artists, daily itineraries, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Green Weavers.
Listeners, you listened to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I am your host. Ms. Wells.
Yes.
You obviously are upset. Still
yes,
upset.
Yes, I am.
rightly so. You said that the second autopsy didn't really bring up anything. I mean,
no.
You don't know the results of the second autopsy?
No, I do not, because I have not seen. I tried to get a copy of the second autopsy, but this lawyer, her name is Valerie Hicks Poe, attorney Valerie Hicks Poe, she has the second autopsy and the first one. She got it on the lock and key, and well, of course, no one knows except I'm sure my sister and the attorney. You know, they're the ones. Well, of course, the attorney has advised her not to speak to any of the family or anyone about that second autopsy. Why, I do not know. But the second autopsy, let's put it like this here. I believe Minister Louis Farrakhan called the people that he had set up to have the second independent autopsy done. This lawyer had actually contacted them and told them, do not give out any information, even though that he had every right to know, because he was the one that initiated the autopsy in the first place. The second one.
So did the NAACP or anybody contest this?
That's what I have been questioning. No, they have not. Matter of fact, the NAACP is working, supposedly working with our his stuff with my sister's attorney, and I believe his name was Willie Perkins, and he's from Memphis, Tennessee area. And my understanding is that they got together and they were supposed to do something about it, and nothing has not been done about it. So that's my problem right now, is trying to figure out why this organization has not done anything about it, you know, initiated to have this investigation going on, you know, concerning his case.
Okay. All right. Well, I understand that you are upset, that you want to know. I know USA Today did a story on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there are things on the internet that are saying different things, but until you actually see something, doctor by the name of Dr. Adele Shaker. Do you know a Dr. Adele Shaker?
Yes, I heard, yes. Matter of fact, Brother Ron Hurd interviewed him. Brother Ron Hurd, he's pretty well known, his radio station there in Memphis, Tennessee, and let me tell you, he was furious about this whole thing. He has been following through this case. He has done all kind of interviews with the DA office, with the sheriff department, with I'm trying to think of the name. There's a few other people that he did contact. I mean, Senator Jordan there in Greenwood, Mississippi, various prestige people that he has actually, spoke to and interviewed with them why they has not. And they're saying that, well, that depends on the mother and the lawyer. Now, they're waiting for the lawyer to do something, which the lawyer hasn't done anything. And she is a minority woman. You know, she's a black woman. I understand that she has two teenage kids of her own. So,
yes, ma'am, I understand that. Hmm? So Dr. Adele Shaker is not anyone that's ruled anything or anything like that.
Let's put it like this here. He kind of like backtracked on ruling. He did not say that Jermaine killed himself. He didn't say that. No, he did not say that. But the sheriff mentioned that it was suicide, that Jermaine committed suicide. It wasn't the person that did the autopsy.
But you believe that it's different. You believe that someone killed him. That's your belief.
Well, yeah. I know for a fact that they did. I know for a fact that they did, because Jermaine would not have gone to Greenwood with his stepfather, almost 30 miles from where he was, to lynch himself in a tree when he lived where my grandmother lived. They lived in the house with with my sister where my grandmother lived, and there's trees all out in the back. If he wanted to have hung himself, he could have did that out there in the back. There's trees all over the place.
Okay.
I don't understand why people look at it that he had to go all the way to Greenwood to do this. Why would he take himself all the way to Greenwood and lynch himself? That doesn't make no sense.
All right. I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is there anything else you would like to add?
Well, the only thing I can say is that, you know, this has truly been an eye-opening for me. It's not no every day that you have a family member being lynched or hung. You know these things are going on in this life. It hasn't stopped from years on up until this point. I feel that, you know, our parents need to know. I mean, I've been getting some negative, and I've been getting a lot of feedback from all over the world concerning Jermaine's case. Matter of fact, I'm not a computer person, but I've been on Facebook, and I have befriended over 5,000 people, and I'm talking not just here in the United States, but I'm talking about from other countries that are supporting me on behalf of my nephew, you know, and they're saying, do not stop. Keep posting his picture, even though people are saying the picture looked gruesome. Why would you want to show his picture of him hanging in a tree? You know, we're getting tired of seeing his picture like that. And I'm saying to myself, how in the world would they ever, you know, I just, how would they learn what is going on? Because many people were saying, oh, maybe he did something, the reason why they did that. You don't have to do anything in this lifetime to get lynched. They've been doing it for years.
Okay.
This is about control, and this is about our next generation, and young people need to wake up because they don't even know anything about their history. The family need to sit around and have family discussion. Teach your kids history, because they're not going to teach it in school, because that's one thing that they don't want your kids to know about what is truly going on. Your families are being destroyed. We need to wake up as the older generation needs to enlighten these young generation, because they are out there. They don't even have a clue what's going on. You know, it's not about just black people anymore. I mean, it's black and white. It's all, everybody is like, you know, they're marrying each other races. They having kids. So now it's not just about that, because, you know, you can't afford to be prejudiced. But you do have people out there that's still hating. And we need to understand that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been doing some research and everything, and there are things that on YouTube and different things that Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Adele Shaker is saying, and I assume this is Dr. Adele Shaker.
Mm-hmm.
And so USA Today and different people are writing things, and the NAACP says Frederick Carter's alleged suicide.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of information on him.
Right. But that's what they want people to believe. I mean, you know what? If I keep repeating myself over and over and over again the same thing, you're going to start to believe just what I say. That's how that is. If I go out there and put out something new and you like it, everybody falls right in the same category. Oh, I like that style. But when it comes down to our children's life, we take it very lightly. People, I don't know if they spooked, they scared, or you better leave it alone, or this is bigger than you. You know what? Regardless how you feel or what you may think, things are going to happen to you no matter what. It's not going to happen until it's time, you know, your time to leave this life. We don't know how we're going to leave here. But the one thing about it, we need to get up and start, what? Notarizing what's going on, notarizing what's going on with our families and doing something about it. You know, family just accept the fact that, well, my son got lynched, my son got shot, and we saying, well, why would they do this and why would they do this? We already know why they're doing it. There's no such thing. Some people say, well, that's back in the day. This is not now. Right. It's still going on all over the world. When your kids coming up missing, your young girls, they call slave trades, they still doing that. When your children's coming up missing, they are doing something that they not, these people are doing something that they're not supposed to do. We got people out here that are doing initiations, but you have to do something drastic to become part of that group. And this is about taking lives as well, you know? So we have to understand that and open our eyes up to what is truly going on. I just told my husband, I says, you know what? I don't care what anybody feel or think. I know what is going on, and I'm not going to keep my mouth shut. I said, it's going to take a load to keep me shut up because I'm not afraid of
it. I'm reading on USA Today, December 6, 2000. It says, NAACP contests suicide as a cause of hangman's death.
Mm-hmm.
So...
The NAACP. It was the NAACP and I believe the Civil Rights, ACLU. The Civil Rights of Wendell Lee. He was involved. He's still involved with this case. Matter of fact, I talked to him maybe once or twice a week regarding Jermaine's case. He's doing what you call an on the ground investigation. You know, he's still looking into some things himself.
Okay.
But I don't know why these other groups did not even come to, you know, to try to find out what really truly happened. And on top of that, you know, any two time something like this happened, not even just 5 miles from where Emmett Till was beaten to death. Because
yes, I'm seeing USA Today is 12 miles from where Emmett Till was lynched. But all right, I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
All right,
is there anything else you would like to add?
Well, I just like to just ask people to continue to, you know, come together and stop being afraid of fighting back. We need to step up to the plate, and we need to come together as one in order to grow strong and stand strong and do what we need to do for our families. Don't ever think that it won't come knocking at your door. We are still living in this wicked life. You know, don't turn your back because, you know what?
Also, I like to say that even though it has not been ruled, the second autopsy has not been ruled on. You know, I'm sorry, the second autopsy is not known, but I'm sorry for your loss. I know it's tragic. It's horrible.
Yes, you know? It is. It's horrible, and I feel it every day. Some people said, don't let it get to you. You know, what gets to me is not, I know he is gone. You know, he's dead and gone. But the fact is that how it happened is what bothers me. How it happened and no one, you know what, and no one has done anything about it. I mean, it's funny how if you take things up in your own hands and try to find out what happened, then all of a sudden now you're out of line. You're out of order. That's not your field. You know, so you have to sit back and accept it. That's something that I can't do. I cannot sit back and accept this. I will keep fighting until there is justice.
You'll keep fighting until you have justice.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Ms. Wiles. I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome.
You have a wonderful evening.
You too, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, you've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. We have with us this afternoon Ms. Shelley Wiles, and like I was saying, the second autopsy, she does not know about the second autopsy, but she's still going to fight on. All right, thank you for listening to the show. Thank you, and have a good night.